Good morning and welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes. And the program is being paid for by Davidson Advertising and Allen Shoes. This is show number 44, and today is Saturday, March 6th, 2021.
And hello, my name is Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Allen Shoes in Tucson.
And our special guest today is Mike Fader, president of the Mexican Baseball Fiesta. Mike is a long-term sports general manager. He's going to be talking to us about the sporting world, what's going on. So it should be interesting, Alan.
I think so. And I pulled this up, and I thought I'd share it with our listeners. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Alan, please don't quit your day job, okay?
I couldn't resist doing that.
Okay.
Anyhow,
well, it's spring, you know. It's spring is coming. It's spring training's gonna be starting soon, or it's starting up in the Phoenix area. So, you know, lots to talk about. And we have a lot to talk about today because Governor Ducey ended capacity restrictions on restaurants, theaters, and gyms yesterday. Arizona businesses are now free to open their doors to all comers, but social distancing and masking rules still apply. In an executive order yesterday, Governor Doug Ducey lifted pandemic restrictions he had placed on how many customers can be in restaurants, theaters, gyms, and water parks. Until now, they had to limit occupancy to no more than 50%. For gyms and fitness centers, it was 25%. However, all of these facilities are now open to do whatever they can. Kara Christ, the state health director, said that social distancing must stay in place, but she acknowledged that in many cases this will continue to prevent establishments from returning to the number of customers they had before the restrictions. It doesn't probably allow 100 to 110% of capacity, she said, but it will increase them a little bit above their current ability. As for bars, only those who are effectively have converted to restaurants, meaning they offer sit-down food service, can be open. Traditional bars where people can mingle and dance remain entirely shuttered, she said, at least until the rate of COVID-19 spread is reduced further. Ducey's order also allows spring training and other major league sports to once again accept spectators at their games. Those announcements will be coming out shortly, Alan, as spring training is going to be starting, like I said, in Phoenix pretty soon.
Well, you and I were talking about this just a few minutes ago before our show, and we just don't know how some of these businesses have held on because, you know, we have many businesses that have been dropping 10, 20%, whatever, but these businesses, the bars and the gyms, I mean, I just don't know how they've hung on so long.
It's been very difficult for a lot of them, Alan. We feel for them, and, you know, we hope that the new government program that's coming out, this $1.9 trillion stimulus, will help several. That's still in the works. I guess Congress is fighting over the weekend. They're trying to come up with some compromise, if that's the right word. So we'll see what happens there. But it can't come fast enough.
No, it can't. And you had some ideas for what some restaurants were doing that are trying to change with the times and, you know, get their businesses up and running. And there was an article about that. Do you have that in front of you?
I do, Alan. As the nation's restaurant and service industry continues to face challenges nearly 1 year into the pandemic, local restaurateurs are adapting their business models and shrinking their footprint to better serve COVID-minded customers. Commercial real estate brokers are already seeing a demand for new development with drive-throughs and larger patio space, according to Tucson Realty and Trust Company retail specialist Frank Arata. Other business owners are repurposing former restaurant space into fast casual concepts focused on customer service with minimal contact, he said. The footprint is smaller now in those four walls, meaning there's very little dining space inside, if any, said Arata. My clients are looking to make it easier for their customers to walk in to get takeout or pull up to a drive-through window. The problem with more restaurants offering drive-through service could mean more congestion spilling onto Tucson's busy streets, he said. To help diminish any traffic issues, businesses are constructing lengthy, curving drive-throughs on their property in place of unnecessary parking space. He said many business owners are trying to strike a balance between creating a pleasant experience for their drive-through customers while keeping them safe. in every city, there's always code requirements to regulate the stacking of cars in a drive-through so it doesn't block traffic. But they don't really look at the code anymore, he said. They look at what is convenient for their customer utilizing their drive-through. More parking lots are becoming a winding car lane, like if you were to stand in line for a concert ticket. Josh Jacobson, vice president of Sunland Foods and owner of two Lucky Wishbone locations, said Tucsonans should expect to see his company return to their 1953 chicken shack roots geared toward carryout service. He points to the newest Lucky Wishbone location on the northwest side, which opened last November, as an example. The Ina location has a smaller lobby in comparison to the most recent stores built before that. For instance, my stores are up to 3,000 square feet, and I think this new location is only 1,600 square feet, Jacobson said. We're probably looking at other new locations going back to a smaller footprint like we originally started with. So, Alan, people have to change, and they're trying to adapt to the current situation.
You know, there is lots of change going on, Rob, and there's also a great deal of optimism that we found, and we found an article of the Gallup poll, and let's pull that up and share that with our listeners.
Sure. There's a dramatic change in how Americans view COVID pandemic, the Gallup poll finds. The survey, which was conducted February 14th through the 21st, found that 60% of respondents said the pandemic is getting a little or a lot better, with 14% saying the situation is getting worse and 26% saying it's staying the same. The latest survey contrasts with when Gallup first asked Americans about the pandemic of April 2020, and 56% said it was getting worse, 26% said it was getting better, and 15% said it was the same. Vaccinations for COVID-19 became available to eligible Americans back in January, and on Saturday, the Food and Drug Administration cleared a third version, the Johnson & Johnson shot, that works with just one dose instead of two. Coronavirus cases in the U.S. have also seen a decline. The daily average of cases in the past week was just under 63,000, which is a decrease of 14% over a two-week time, with a peak of 73% respondents saying so in mid-August. So, Alan, people are feeling a little bit better, and hopefully the vaccines are going to get out there and people will use them, and we can go back to a normal life at some point.
Well, we all hope to, Rob, and we, you know, certainly have the best hopes for our businesses out there. But there just seems to be a big disagreement among politicians about where we're at and what we need to do, even relative to states being better inoculated than Arizona. Arizona's pretty tough on there. And I found an article, and I'm going to try and pull it up later in the show, that Google has some statistics, Rob, by county of how businesses are doing. And, you know, if you feel that we're doing a little bit worse for retail traffic than Maricopa County, that is a correct assumption. I'll try to pull that up later in the show. But what you do have, Rob, on your table here is an article from the World Health Organization about the pandemic.
Yes, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said Friday that the COVID-19 pandemic has caused more mass trauma than World War II. He added that the mental health toll of the coronavirus pandemic will last for many years to come. One of his deputies, Maria Van Kerkhove, added that the world is still in the acute phase of the pandemic. His comments came in response to a question about whether countries should take the pandemic's impact on the economy and mental health into account more as they chart their paths forward. Tedros' deputies emphasized that mental health ought to be prioritized. The answer is absolutely yes. There are variations in terms of the impact that this has had on individuals, whether you have lost a loved one or a family member or a friend to this virus, whether you've lost your job, children who haven't been in school, people who are forced to stay home in very difficult situations. Dr. Mike Ryan, executive director of the WHO's Health Emergency Program, urged people to not just highlight the mental health toll of the pandemic as a problem, but also discuss solutions. It's one thing to say that mental health is and psychological health is under pressure. That's true. But also the opposite of that has to be what we're doing to support and provide psychological support to people and communities. So, Alan, it's all part of the program. Mental health, physical health, it all goes together.
I did find that article from Google. It's really a place that Google does some measurements and it's called the Arizona Mobility Report. You might be able to search for that on Google, and it's a data set that's intended to help remediate the impact of COVID-19. It shouldn't be used for medical diagnostic, prognosis, or treatment purposes. It also isn't intended to be used for guidance on personal travel plans. However, the data shows how visits to places such as grocery stores and parks are changing in each geographic region. So for Arizona overall, the retail and recreation traffic is down 12%, and then it goes on to give it to you what it is by county. And so in Pima County, as I searched down through here, the retail and recreation seemed to be down 2% in traffic, but in business, it was down a lot worse, as I read through the report the other day. So pull that up on Google, and it gives you some specific information relative to businesses and traffic and whatever. However, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOA 1030 AM, The Voice. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. If you know of a long-term Tucson business that should be highlighted on our show, please call Rob. Again, 629-9555. And please come back after our commercial break.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Allen. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Alcorn Auto Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Allen Shoes.
Our guest today is Mike Fader, president of the Mexican Baseball Fiesta. Mike was the general manager of the Tucson AAA team for 15 years, the Toros, Sidewinders, and Padres. He's an experienced president with a demonstrated history of working in the sports industry. He's skilled in advertising, event management, fundraising, corporate events, and sports marketing. He's got a strong business development professional with a Western Illinois University focus in sports administration from Simpson College. Mike, welcome to Back to Business. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Alan.
How you been, Mike?
Good. Just excited. Got my shot Thursday at 9:20 in the evening at the U of A. So that was shot number one. Got one more to go, and I encourage everybody to go out and get their shots.
Yep, me too, Mike. I got my first one a couple of weeks ago, and my wife got hers the other day. So the U of A's got a pretty good program going there. I was very impressed with the way they were handling it. So I encourage everybody to go out. So, Mike, we're back a year from the pandemic, and what's the status of the sports industry right now?
Well, it's sure different. I'll tell you that. I'm glad it's back in some way because I think it provides a tremendous relief and outlet for a lot of people just to give them something positive, unless you have a bad team that you cheer for, to follow. It's a work in progress like everything else in society right now. But to use a terrible cliche, I mean, there's light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, Major League Baseball, a lot of teams are already talking about their plan for fans, starting April 1st. I think every spring training facility in both Phoenix or in both Arizona and Florida are now accepting fans. The Cubs are taking up to 3,200 fans per game and have sold out every day. College athletics, at least on our side of the world, Pac-12, taking a little longer. As far as when I say longer, not on the field competitively, but in the business side and the fans. And I'm hoping that Arizona baseball and softball within the next month or so might actually open it up for fans to come out because they both got tremendous teams this year.
Now, spring training that's gotten underway up in the Phoenix area, has it not?
It has. It's been going on now for about a week.
And so what are they as far as fans go? I know that I read something about the Diamondbacks had a program. What are they allowing, like pods of fans? Is that how they're doing it?
Yeah, they're doing it in pods of 2, 3, and 4. And the outfield, they've got it all chalked off, so they're creating boxes on the berm. And they really done a nice job of spreading it out. so that you don't have 20, 30, 40 people all sitting in the same section. You know, it's contactless as far as buying tickets. Same thing when you go to the concession stand. They're not taking cash. And it appears to have gone pretty well. I mean, I would say, and I don't know the facts on everybody, but at least half the teams in the Valley have sold out all of their spring training games. The Cubs have, the Diamondbacks have, Rockies, Dodgers, White Sox, Padres. So you can't even buy a ticket for a game, again, in limited quantities of what's available. So those are all positive steps.
Now, what about what's going on in Tucson? We have several sports teams that play in the spring. We've got the Sugar Skulls, the hockey team. Are they allowing fans?
Well, the Sugar Skulls move their season back, and their season is now not starting till May. The Sugar Skulls actually don't start. That would be my dog. Hold on. Let me walk outside. So the Sugar Skulls, as of this second, are not allowing fans. That's up to the Pima County Health Department. Same thing with the Roadrunners. Those are in the yet-to-be-determined category. They're obviously both hoping that as things go on, that it might loosen up. The Roadrunner season has started, and they're playing to an empty arena right now. Again, the Sugar Skulls don't start until June is their first home game. You know, to me, if you don't have fans and you're the Sugar Skulls, you're not playing. I mean, they're a small franchise, and they're totally dependent on the revenue stream. So I hope. Sorry about my dog.
It's okay.
I hope they could get things worked out. Because I, you know, for me 2 years ago, I loved the Sugar Skulls. It was a good fan experience, and I hope it's going to come back. So those would be the two. And I mean, you can't not include Arizona Athletics. And I think, you know, at this point right now, there are no fans at Arizona Athletics.
Now, for the baseball team, they play out at High Corbett Field. I would imagine that they could do social distancing out there if they wanted. No?
Oh, for sure they can. You know, it's just not been opened up yet. You know, that's kind of where it is. I mean, they, you know, in the Valley, they are allowing it. You know, in Pima County, it's not going on now. Now, I do believe, I don't want to be 100% definitive on this. But I think the University of Arizona makes their own decisions based on input from the Pima County Health Department. So they're kind of a different creature on how they do things. But no, it's easy for me to say as a fan, under the proper guidance and the way everything's been structured, there's absolutely no reason that they couldn't do it. You know, for baseball and softball. I noticed on the Arizona football website, tickets are on sale, even though I've not definitively heard that they're going to allow fans for their games in September yet.
Well, that'll be an interesting thing to see, especially, you know, football season's right around the corner. I mean, before we know it.
Well, I don't know if you saw the other day, Greg, Arizona Athletic Director, stated now in Alabama's athletic director, that their plans are to have 100,000 people at their football game in September. But the Southeastern Conference, I think most people know down in that area, things are a little different. And I'm sure in Texas they're going to allow fans. World Series last year, for example, for the World Series and the Championship Series, they played in Arlington, Texas, and did allow fans. You know, so I would guess that there's definitely going to be fans going to be at football games in those conferences in the Southeast and Texas.
Is Major League Baseball going to be doing a similar thing this year with the World Series and the playoffs, having them in one location?
I don't think so. Only because that was when everybody was kind of quarantined and were in bubbles. Right now, I mean, everything is, knock on wood, is going according to plan, and everybody's planning on playing in their own stadiums. I mean, so I would be really surprised if that were to occur. To me, the only way they do things in a bubble with the World Series would be that we're not doing well as a country, because the World Series wouldn't be till October, late October, and God knows, I hope we're in good shape by then.
And also, aren't the Olympics coming up in August?
Well, even sooner in Japan.
Right.
I believe it might even be as early as June or July. So, the last thing I read on the Olympics is that they're not allowing fans from outside of Japan, which I thought was kind of funny. But, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And you just put very strict rules in place, on when you're vaccinated. You got to show a vaccination. You got to buy your tickets in advance with proof of vaccination and or testing. So I think it could be done, but I think they're being cautious right now. I think as everything goes on in sports, 2 months from now, things could be different. So what you read now doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way it's going to be.
A lot of implications, a lot of things that we're going to have to look at. Alan.
Well, the key is people have to get vaccinated.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, there's nothing less, more important, to get everybody behind it.
Mike, can you join us after our break for the news and stay with us?
Sure.
We want to ask you a few more questions. Not a problem. Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. The next segment, we'll have Mike back with us. We'll ask him more questions. So come right back after our news and commercial break.
Welcome back to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Alan Shoes in Tucson.
And we're continuing with our guest Mike Fader, president of the Mexican Baseball Fiesta. And Mike, let's talk about the Fiesta a little bit. You've got that coming up.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Can I go back and just update two things?
Sure.
I looked up, the Olympics are July 23rd to August 8th.
Okay, great.
So I kind of was wrong on that one. And then the second part is that the Keno Sports Complex, as of today, are now allowing sports to go on and spectators up to 50. So that was something that the Pima County Health Department has approved, and that is starting today. So I just wanted to, I kind of misspoke a little there, and I misled people on what I said about the county health department. So there are movements going on.
And what's going on at Keno now? Are they doing their soccer? Is that the soccer spring training kind of?
MLS, the spring training is going to happen shortly. I'm not sure exactly when. FC Tucson will be playing a little later, I think a couple months from now. Again, they're hoping for attendance. I don't know that MLS soccer, the spring training, will necessarily have fans. I guess I haven't heard that yet. That one I'm not really as sure about.
But they will be bringing lots of folks in, the Tucson players and personnel, I guess, staying in hotels,
right,
and spending money here, which is a good thing.
Without question.
So let's talk about the Mexican Fiesta. Mike, what's your plans for this year?
Well, the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, I mean, last year would have been year 10, and like everything else, was canceled. Our event takes place in September and October. We bring in teams from the, which is Major League Baseball in Mexico, the Mexican Winter League, bring in anywhere from 4 to 6 teams. teams like from Hermosillo and Obregon and Mexicali and Culiacan, Los Mochis. And it's been a good event. I mean, it really has been a very fun event, a good economic event. In our economic impact, it's generally been around $1 million a year with all the teams that are here staying and the fans. But like I mentioned about the Sugar Skulls, for us to put on this event, we need fans because we're paying all the expenses for all the teams, for all the Mexican teams coming in, their hotel, their meals, and we have to pay a lease to Pima County. But the feeling is, you know, we had a conversation with the people from the Keno Sports Complex, and the hope is that by September, things have gotten better, and that we'll be able to put on our event the way we've always had. Fans might be asked to wear masks. You know, we might have some things and how we're doing things, not necessarily filling a section of 100 people. You know, we've had live bands before following the games. People dance. That will probably go away for this year. But it's great baseball. It's a great party. We will be playing in Tucson generally the first or second week in October. And it's for 4 days, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But yesterday, we also play games at Sloan Park where the Cubs play in Mesa. The weekend before, we come to Tucson. We bring in Mexican teams. We will also play games in Las Vegas the weekend before that. So it's become a three-weekend deal, and the teams from Mexico are generally here staying in Tucson hotels for those 2 weeks leading up to the final weekend. So that's how you get to the economic impact. So, I guess the biggest message is stay tuned. And as we get down into the summer, we'll know a lot more.
Because for the fans to come from Mexico, the border will have to open, will it not?
Correct. So there's, but we believe that in a normal year, we were bringing on the weekend, Saturday and Sundays, we have like 20% of the fans came from Mexico across the border. So that was a real positive step. Most of the fans are from the southern Arizona region. You know, people who come to this event, quite honestly, are people that know what the Mexican Winter League is. It is predominantly a Hispanic event. We're probably 90% Hispanic. But the people whose grandma or they grew up in Mexico, they come. We're bringing baseball back to them that they grew up with, and that's why it's become such a positive.
Well, that sounds great, Mike. We'll have to have you back later in the summer when you have more news available, and hopefully everyone will be vaccinated by then, and we'll get back to a normal situation.
So let's hope that happens soon. I mean, the best thing that could happen, but, you know, I don't want to make a political statement, but when I see things that go on in Texas, I mean, we need to keep improving, and that's my last political statement of the day.
I think it's a good ending for our conversation. We just need to keep improving and move on and follow the science.
Mike, yes, sir.
Mike, thanks so much for being with us. Take care, be well, and we'll get an update from you later this year.
You too. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Okay, super. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
You know, as part of our show, we're going to be featuring going forward some good news. Today, we've got a number of stories. We're going to start with one here and maybe continue into the next segment with a couple of stories. Here's the first one. Tucked into a suburban Chicago train station may appear to be an unassuming coffee shop, but what's going on behind the scenes is much more than just your average cup of joe. For the seventh year in a row, the shop's owner, Pilot Pete, Peter Thompson, that is, has been the driving force behind Coffee with a Purpose, an annual community initiative that collects and distributes coats and other necessities to help the local population, the homeless population, that is, brave the harsh Midwest winters. Thomas says the idea came to him when he was trying to find a way to give back to the community as well as get others involved. he admits he was initially unprepared for the positive avalanche of responses. In the weeks prior to Christmas, in the drive's first year, he and other volunteers took in 3,000 coats. This year, for drive number 7, Thomas and crew helmed the Coffee with a Purpose Command Center from the back of a 26-foot moving truck. The humanitarian caravan made a total of 6 stops throughout Greater Chicago. Pilot Pete Sprudes brewed up to 40 gallons of coffee for the occasion. The Hot Java was supplemented by donations from 3 other Elmhurst businesses eager to do their part. So this is just an example, one of many, of some good news going on, Rob. And do you have anything else that you wanted to report on? And before you do, I just wanted to update what I read previously, Rob. I had read a 2% decline, and I was mistaken. I was reading the wrong report. But here's those reports on the Arizona Mobility Report from Google that are more correct. The Arizona's retail traffic, retail and recreation traffic, is down 12%. Pima County itself is down 17%. And this report divides retail and recreation into regular retail, grocery and pharmacy, and parks. And so Pima County is doing worse off than Maricopa, which is 13% instead of 18% for retail. And that information is helpful when you're dealing with banks, when you're dealing with other retailers across the nation who may be down more or less. I found that New York County, where one of my friends has a shoe store, is down 64%. So there's you know, we can't really blame him when he says he's doing in that range of decline, because the whole retail traffic is really hurt in big metro areas, Rob.
Absolutely. You know, people are, you know, especially the bigger the area, people are afraid to come out. And, you know, we're just going to have to see how it plays out. Now that Governor Ducey has lifted some of these restrictions, Alan, it'll be interesting to see if foot traffic and the like picks up for most of our businesses. It's going to be an interesting couple of months.
If you're paying attention, even though the governor may say that some restrictions are limited, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to change some of your habits. You need to be very careful still, because there are a lot of people in the community that have not received their vaccine shot. There are still people sick. You know, of course, the peak of cases is down, but not nearly what it needs to be. And there's still a lot of people in the hospital and are still suffering through this, Rob. So you still could catch COVID, and you just need to be very careful and not pass it on if you've got it and you just don't realize it to other people.
There's just so many unknowns.
On the internet. Yes, there are. Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's BETOBTucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen. It's on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. In the next segment, we're going to have a few more things to share with you, so please come back after our commercial break.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Allen. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner-operator of Allen Shoes. So we're continuing with our good news story, Rob, and I couldn't resist this next story because in my business, I have a lot of, we're going to call them cat ladies, ladies that love cats. They come in and they buy these handbags and little purses that we have for them with cat design. So I had to read this story. A brave Navy sailor recently plunged into choppy waters to rescue 4 kittens from a burning ship off the coast of Thailand. 23-year-old Saplon Sai received the emergency call and dove into the water while still wearing his pants to swim over to the wreckage. All 8 crew members had already escaped the inferno and been picked up by a passing fishing boat. However, 4 terrified kittens were left behind. They moved to the bow and left clinging to a crane structure as the flames rapidly engulfed the ship. And so the heroic sailor swam 50 feet through rough seas before he climbed aboard the sinking ship and put 3 cats into an old rice sack. The other kitten he carried on his shoulder. And the sailor emerged with the trembling cats and pedaled with them in his arms back to the Navy vessel. The kittens were dehydrated and given fresh water while they recovered on board. That's story number 2, Rob. What do you think of that one? You know, I know you're a dog lover, but you don't mind a cat being saved.
No, we've had cats, you know, and jumping into the water like that, that's quite a deal. You know, there's some people out there that do unbelievable things, Alan, and I'm sure the cat lovers all over the world are going to really, really rally around this young man.
Well, I want to read story number three real quickly for the good news. It's a 60-year-old person couldn't afford college. Now he's donating $20 million to fulfill the dreams of students today. While countless brilliant men and women don't have college diplomas, their achievements often speak for themselves. Still, having access to higher education can be an integral stepping stone on the path to success. So it's a double whammy when marginalized students who traditionally face financial barriers to obtain degrees find themselves drowning in debt by the time they graduate. And so in 1961, Tyler, the hero of our story, enrolled as a student of business administration at Morgan State College. And when his funds dried up, he took a job as a UPS driver and quit college. Well, later on, many years later, in 2016, Tyler endowed a fund with $5 million and pledged $20 million more in scholarship endowments. He and his wife were compelled by the impact of COVID-19 crisis that students already were struggling, and he felt that he could fill the gap. And that was story number three. What do you think about that guy, Rob?
Another great story, Alan.
Well, let's go to our regular series called What Were They Thinking? And we have someone not so great, because I thought by now he would have learned what to say and what not to say. Well, why don't you read the story about the pastor?
Yeah, this is a good one, Alan. A Missouri pastor is on leave after delivering a sermon telling women to lose weight and submit to the sexual desires of their husbands to keep them from straying. Pastor Stuart Allen Clark took a leave of absence this past Tuesday from First General Baptist in Malden after widespread criticism of his sexist sermon in late February. Besides weight loss and sex, Clark told wives to wear makeup, dress nicely, choose appropriate hairstyles, and appear less butch. Although the church in southeastern Missouri deleted videos from its website, a recording of the sermon appears on Facebook. Now look, I'm not saying every woman can be the epic trophy wife of all time like Melania Trump. I'm not saying that at all, he said. Most women can't be trophy wives, but you know, maybe you're a participation trophy, Clark said, as a photo of the former First Lady appeared on the screen. I don't know, but all I can say is not everybody looks like that. Amen. Not everybody looks like that, but you don't need to look like a butch either, he said. First General Baptist is a church in the General Baptist denomination, which released a statement Monday saying Clark's sermon was not consistent with the positions and values of the organization. Man, Alan.
What was he thinking? Is all we could say for that one. And I don't know if I want to comment too much more on that other than to say we don't think he did the right thing. Right, Rob?
Yeah, I hope if he's married, I don't know what his wife's saying either, but I'd say the guy's in a bit of trouble.
I think so. So the next What Were We Thinking story has to do with a lawmaker who made a big statement against drunk driving, and something surprising happened. What about him, Rob?
Well, it's she, Alan. Hawaii lawmaker Sharon Haar, who railed against drunk driving, was busted for alleged DUI. A Hawaii lawmaker who implemented tough drunk driving penalties in her state has been arrested for allegedly driving under the influence. Democratic State Representative Sharon Haar started pushing for the tough changes to DUI laws in 2008 after surviving a crash the previous year when a drunk driver slammed into her, according to the Honolulu Star Advertiser. But the mother of twin three-year-old daughters was herself arrested in Honolulu last month after she was pulled over in her 2019 Mercedes while facing the wrong direction on a one-way street. I'm embarrassed. I didn't know, she said. She also works for a private law firm, she told the officer who first spoke to her, as a caught newly video release shows. The officer was told his colleagues that he could smell alcohol on Haar's breath, even while standing a few feet from her for coronavirus safety measures. The lawmaker then started dramatically screaming, ow, while being handcuffed, and randomly said, Black Lives Matter. It's embarrassing. Let's go, she barked at the group of officers, who appeared to only realize who she was after calling in her details. During her arrest, Haar asked if the cops knew who she is. Officer Christopher Morgado wrote in his report, according to the Star Advertiser. Sharon then related that she was going to be the next governor, but this will mess up her plans, according to the officer. or spoke with a slow, slurred speech and had red, glassy eyes. She also stated Black Lives Matter and asked officers to hurry up because she needed to call people.
Yeah, that's not so good.
Not so good.
We're going to move on to...
Not so
what
good.
What was she thinking? I don't know. We're going to go to the next one. Another one. We have a where. What were we thinking story number three. What were they thinking? And it's about one of our favorite guys, Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump's former personal attorney, was pilloried on Wednesday after he warned in a podcast of the dangers of online misinformation. In a tweet, Giuliani shared the latest in his podcast series, Rudy Giuliani's Common Sense, which he wrote was devoted to the dire consequences of misinformation on social media. According to Mr. Giuliani, misinformation has become a daily occurrence on social media platforms. If continued unaddressed, it will eventually lead to Jefferson's worst nightmare of a poorly informed citizenry, which he saw as the greatest danger to democracy. Giuliani was an unusual carrier for that message, which media figures and disinformation experts were quick to point out. He was for months been in the face of Donald Trump's campaign to overturn the result of the 2020 presidential election and repeatedly pushed the so-called big lie. So, Mr. Giuliani is still out there.
Yeah, you know, I also put in our X-Bin, you know, so a couple of more stories. I don't even know if I could even read the headlines without, I think I'm going to leave them aside here, Rob, but you had sent me a few more stories. I wanted to let our listeners know we do have some screening service. Either Rob or I sometimes put an article on the side, but let me just say this. Don't visit China right now. They're going to make you do some things before allowing you in there that you're not going to want to do. Right, Rob?
Yeah, Alan, China is making COVID-19 anal swabs mandatory for foreigners because evidently that's the best way to test for the coronavirus. So if you're planning on a trip to China, you can be prepared to have to do something you may not want to do.
Yeah, I don't think so.
China's probably not going to be my first choice to go anywhere soon, so I don't think I'm going to have to worry about it. But, golly, you know, interesting.
There's some stories, Rob, in our industry that the factories in China are just not able to produce our footwear as much as possible. And part of it may have to do with absenteeism and some sickness in China. So I think I'm really worried about China myself.
Yeah, I would be worried also from that standpoint, Alan, but I don't think you're going to be making any trips there anytime soon, are you?
No, but I will tell you that if you want to see what's going on with COVID, you can search in Google for the terms Arizona and COVID, and you will see some statistics both applying to new cases as well as deaths, and you'll see that we're post-peak, but we're not down to as low. We're still about the level of where we were at the end of October and November when it was starting to make a rise, and the number of daily cases has diminished quite a bit. The last new confirmed cases as of March 5th were 2,276 cases in Arizona. That's still a lot of cases. And, you know, for Arizona, even though the peak was somewhere in the neighborhood of 17,000 cases reported on January 3rd, but it's down quite a bit, but still too many cases in Arizona. And the number of confirmed cases in Arizona is $818,000 since the pandemic started.
Well,
catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. Why don't you thank our guest, Rob?
Yes, and thanks to Mike Fader for being with us today. Mike, we hope to have you back soon, and take care and be well.
Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. This has been Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. This has been Alan McCloskey.
And Rob Davidson. Have a great week, everybody.